said in the book of John, chapter 11, verse number 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter number 2. While you find your place, I'd like to announce these lilies that you see here. These lilies here in front of the pulpit, they are given in memory of Daniel Edens, and that's given by Mrs. Linda Edens, and then given in memory of Willa May, the wife of Clyde Johnson, and then Raymond Long, Erpel, and Randall Anthony, and these are given by Vernell Long, and then also given in memory of Thomas Milford Norris, Ruby Norris, Thomas Milford Norris Jr., and Janice Landreth and Vivian Campbell, and this is given by David Norris. And then Miss Janet Rappinchuk gave in memory of Paul Rappinchuk, her husband. Miss Elaine Short gave in memory of her friend Sarah Spivey. And then there's lilies given in memory of Donald Robinson, and then Hattie Robinson. And these are given by Pat Bishop. And then given in memory of Bill and Montez Bishop and Shannon Lee Gold. And these are given by Pat and Terry Bishop as well. And then in honor of Susan Johnson by Clyde Johnson. And in honor of Judy Nally by Betty Stewart. And then in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. By Myra Wiseman. And then these prayer requests to give you this morning. Rhoda Davis is at Patewood Acute Rehab. Me and Brother Terrell went to see her yesterday. Boy, she was a blessing. We went to encourage her, and we left. I was about to shout, amen. She was a blessing. And then Brother Danny Lee, he had a stroke and was at Prisma. He got out yesterday. We went and seen him yesterday. Please pray for them. And then Jerry and Judy Nally's granddaughter in the hospital. Please pray for my sweetheart Mary for her transplant. Pray for Ramona Morell, her pain in her knees. Marshall Hall at rehab at Brushy Creek Rehab. Pray for Roy Ray recovering from surgery. Miss Rappinchuk had cataract surgery last Monday. Pray for Brother Porter and upcoming heart surgery. Pray for Dr. Sani and his health concerns. And pray for Brother Pope. Matter of fact, in the invitation day, I'm going to ask the men in the church to meet me in the altar to pray for Brother Pope. He's got cancer. And they're going to try to operate on it, but it's serious. So we're going to pray God to heal them. Amen. And so let's pray for these. And then also pray for Brother Wallace and his daughter Regina. From what I understand, she was in the hospital all night last night. So pray for that. And let's pray, and we'll get into the message for today. Lord, we love you so much and so thankful for your blessings. I pray you would meet all these needs here that have been mentioned on this prayer list. When God, I think of a greater need than any need is the need of salvation. God, those that are not saved, save them. But God, I pray that you touch and minister, give grace and peace and mercy, healing, and minister in every one of these requests. And I think of those here today, Lord, visiting if they're not saved, or even sitting here in their regular attenders. God, I pray for the salvation of every person. I pray that you'd be glorified and blessed in this message. And dear Lord, I pray that nothing would grieve the Holy Spirit this morning. Forgive our sin, cleanse our unrighteousness. May we see you high and holy and lifted up this morning. May we honor and glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus died on the cross for our sin and rose again the third day. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to be honest, I always get nervous preaching on holidays. For those that know me and Mary, we're missionaries for 9 years, and I want to say it was the Easter during COVID, and I was asked to preach that Sunday morning in Roebuck, South Carolina, at the Emmanuel Baptist Church. And I did what everybody's supposed to do on Easter, and I showed up with a message on the resurrection. And I was sitting there right beside Mary, and everyone's singing and having a time in the Lord. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, you got the wrong message. And I was like, great. And so I was over there praying, God, what do I need to preach this morning? And I kid you not, Brother Will Knox was there. The Holy Ghost said, I want you to preach on the tribulation and the Antichrist. And I said, on Easter? I said, God, am I allowed to do that? And he said, well, I'm God. So I got to the pulpit and I said, preacher, is it okay if I listen to God this morning? And he said, sure. And I said, great, turn with me to Revelation 13. And I preached on the tribulation period, on the Antichrist. And a little girl walked the aisle that morning and got saved. It always pays to listen to the Holy Ghost. Thank God I'm not preaching on that this morning. Amen. But I get nervous. And after that, then I got asked to preach on Mother's Day. Oh, I got scared what God was going to have me preach. I was praying, God, don't make me preach on judgment on Mother's Day or anything like that. And I didn't. I'm serious, but I'm joking, amen. But I get nervous preaching on holidays. But this morning, I'd like to look with you in the book of Colossians chapter number 2, starting in verse number 6. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 6. And as ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And so that verse right there, it tells us that if you've received Jesus Christ, and if I've received Jesus Christ, then we are supposed to walk in him. Now it's sad that Christmas and Easter are two times a year, or the only two times a year that many people come to church. And they'll tell you up and down, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I love the Lord, I live for him. But that's not how the Bible tells a Christian to live. The Bible tells a Christian to live faithfully for the Lord. Amen? So it says right here in verse number 6, as ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So if you've received him, then what did the Bible verse say? So walk ye in him. And so if we've received him by hearing the word of God and the preaching and teaching of the word of God, then that is how we're supposed to walk with him. Verse number 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So you're supposed to be rooted in the faith, growing in the faith, establishing the faith. But then also it says abounding. That means flourishing. Constantly growing and going further. But then it says in verse number 8, beware. So a warning. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There are a lot of philosophies out there. There's philosophies out there that'll draw a large portion of the world, but they're not after Christ. And so we need to make sure that whatever we're believing, whatever we're following, whatever we're doing, is what is written in the pages of the Word of God. Amen? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him, that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Hallelujah. I don't know where Jesus found you, but friends, I was in a mess. I had trouble with my parents. I had trouble with the police. I had been kicked out of high school. My entire life was a mess. I am thankful that the Word of God said, when I came to Jesus Christ and believed on him, that he had forgiven me all trespasses. Amen? Notice verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Hallelujah. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That means right there that Jesus beat the devil. Amen. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Think about that with me, my friends. The Lord Jesus has the keys of hell and of death. The one who opens the door of hell when people go there, the one who locks the gate of hell after they go there, is the same one that could have pardoned them from hell. He has the key to it all. He said in the book of John, chapter number 10, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Hallelujah. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way of salvation. Your friends, your mother, your father, your religion, your baptism, your church membership, your good deeds, your good works, the money you give, hey, those will never purchase salvation. Jesus purchased salvation with his own blood. Amen. And so today, I noticed the phrase here in verse 13 and 14. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. That word quickened means to be made alive. Hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. You realize that means God had a long list of things against you and me in judgment. But he blotted it out. Hallelujah. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. This morning, I'm thinking about his cross. His cross. And the first thing I think about his cross is that God planned this cross a very long time ago. If you'll look with me in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 4. We'll look at several Bible verses this morning. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, I just have to say this morning. There's a doctrine from hell out there called Calvinism. And they get hung up on these words where it says, having chosen us. But let me tell you, there's not a period there. The sentence continues. It says, having chosen us in him. God did not choose who he's going to save and who he's not going to save. God chose how he was going to save. And it is in him. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. If you look with me in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter 13, and verse number 8. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Notice the phrase, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Bible teaches us in the book of Genesis that God created this world in 6 literal 24-hour days. And on the 7th day, he rested. And in that creation, he created man. And he created woman. He created a garden. And in that garden, he created a tree. And he commanded man. He said, you could eat of everything in this garden. And you can have your pleasure in this garden. He said, but there's the one tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, you cannot eat of that tree. And he said, for the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And God gave them a free will. He gave them a command and he gave them a choice to live or a choice to die, a choice to have fellowship with him or a choice to go against him. But God already knew. Before the foundation of the world, God already knew what they would do. And so Satan was kicked out of heaven. And he came to Eve and he tempted her to take that fruit. She took of it and she went and she gave to her husband also. And they ate, and the Bible said the eyes of them both were opened. And as both of their eyes were opened, they knew that they were naked. They knew that they were ashamed, and they went to hide themselves. And the Bible went on and it said that Adam heard the voice of the Lord God. That's the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, amen? The voice of the Lord God, that's the word of God. He heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the garden, and he went and he hid himself. And he called out for Adam, and he said, "Where art thou?" And Adam hid himself because he knew that he was naked. And they went and they tried to sew fig leaves together to cover their sin. My friend, nothing you and I can make or do will ever cover our sin. But there in that same chapter, you find the Lord God made them coats of skins. You find right there a sacrifice. The skins never would have been cut off those animals until the blood was shed. And even before they ever sinned, God knew there was going to be a blood sacrifice required. And there, from that day in the garden, sin prevailed in this world. That's why the Bible said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. If you don't believe you're a sinner, you're proving you're a sinner because you're calling God a liar. Because he said that all are sinners. God planned the cross before the foundation of the world. We pass out a tract sometimes called God's Simple Plan of Salvation. God planned it. God knew all about it before this world was ever in existence. But then may I say, not only did God plan the cross, but may I tell you about the prophecies of the cross. If you'll look with me in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Not only did God plan the cross, but God foretold Israel that there was going to be the cross. All through the Old Testament, there are prophecies that the Messiah would come, that the deliverer would come. And here is one of those prophecies. But this prophecy prophesied of his great sufferings. It prophesied of the cross. We'll read the chapter starting in verse number 1. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Did you see that? Oh, I just read those words and I think about Jesus was not popular. He was not one that everybody desired after. Notice verse number 3, "He is despised and rejected of men." Wow, the King of heaven, despised and rejected of men. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Right there, over 700 years before the Lord was crucified outside the Damascus gate on a hillside in Israel, God told the world that it would happen. And this is why. Verse number 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Aren't we all prone to wonder? Isn't it so easy for us to just do that which is right in our own eyes? That's why God gave us the Word of God, so that the Word of God could set us straight and show us the way that we ought to go. You know, the Word of God leaves out two things: my opinion and your opinion. It tells us God's opinion. Verse number 7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." My friend, do you realize with me this morning This is the high and holy one of heaven, the light of that city. The book of Revelation tells us that the angels fly through the air crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." They adore him. They worship him. They fall at his feet in the mention of his name. The highest archangels of heaven snap into attention. And he left it all and he came here. And the Bible said he was despised, rejected, and esteemed by us to be smitten of God and afflicted. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Notice this, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. If you look in the book of John, chapter 19, verse 7, the Jews said of the Lord Jesus Christ, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Do you realize they crucified him not for his crime, not for his sin, but because he told the truth, that he was God? Verse number 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Let me ask you something, my friend. Has your heart ever been grieved by some wrongdoing? Do you see in this passage, this is the holy, the innocent, the perfect, the pure, the spotless Lamb of God, and his innocent, righteous and holy soul was made an offering for sin. No wonder he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I know I deserve to be in hell this morning. I deserve to be abandoned by God in a lake of fire. But that day in Israel, some 2,000 years ago, he was nailed. What disrespect. What disregard. That they nailed our Lord to a cross. They nailed him to a cross. But he took it willingly. You see, he said, "No man takes my life from me." But he laid it down because he loved you. And because he loved me, hallelujah to God. Verse number 12, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." I want to say this. It came to pass. That was a prophecy. You say, "Well, I don't believe it." Well, my friend, you can go read after infidel writers who wrote of how the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified in Israel. You can go read after men who don't believe a word of this Bible. The tomb is empty today. Amen. He's alive. Amen. May I say this? Not only do I think of God's plan for the cross and the prophecies of the cross, but I think of the preparation for the cross. If you'll look with me in John 18. John chapter 18. And verse number 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. To this end was I born. The preparation. You see, my friend, just 33 years before this verse, the angel Gabriel appeared to the Virgin Mary, told her that she would bear a son, and they would call his name Jesus, for he should save his people from their sins. Some many years before, also, God allowed some seed to fall into the ground, and a tree began to grow. And that tree grew until one day it was cut down and formed into a cross. And that virgin-born child, the Son of God, was nailed to it to die for you and me. To this end was he born. I think of the path to the cross. You see, there were some 33 years of his life. You have the virgin birth and his sinless life. You have the mighty deeds that he performed that proved he was God in the flesh. He would touch the body of the dead and they would rise. The woman with the issue of the blood, she touched the hem of his garment and it stopped. He commanded the waves and they bowed down at his voice. The wind would stand still when he spoke. The blind would see at his command. The dumb could speak. The lame could walk. He proved who he was. Yet the more he proved who he was, yet the more they hated him. Then I see the purpose of the cross. Luke 23:33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. I recall Revelation 1:5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, we're so blessed this morning. But my friend, I feel like America is becoming to the place where we feel entitled that the Son of God should have allowed himself to be treated as he was. That like some people, as if they feel like we deserved such. Oh, we didn't. We deserve to be in hell today, my friend. We deserve to be abandoned by God. But for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I think of the pain of the cross. Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you imagine his pain? He come and preached the truth, rejected, betrayed, sold, for 30 pieces of silver by one who walked with him for years. He hung on that cross and they wagged their heads. Me and Mary were in Israel last year and our guide explained to us contextually that right there, that where Calvary's mountain is, where Skull Hill is, the place of the skull, the Bible called it, there was the Damascus Road. And the Damascus Road was the most well-traveled road in that day. And so crucifixions regularly would take place there because so many people would see it, and it would provide fear and produce fear and help the government control. And there, as people would walk by, they would wag their heads at him. They would say, he helped others. Why can't he help himself? My friend, may I tell you, it wasn't the nails that held him on the cross. It was his love for you and me. But then not only do I see his pain on the cross as he's forsaken and mocked and ridiculed and rejected. You know what people would say today? Oh, well, he was a failure. Where was the big crowd? You know, the crowd around him, they hated him. My friend, are you saved today? If so, do you think he was a failure? Because it was there that the work was finished. It was there that he purchased your salvation and mine. I see also in Luke chapter 23, I see his plea from the cross. His plea. Nailed there, writhing in pain. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There he on the cross, in pain, in anguish, rejected, despised, and hated. You know what he did? He prayed for those. He prayed for you. He prayed for me. May I tell you, we also can see his great patience on the cross. Look with me in verse 35 through 39. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let them save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. And saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. If thou be, oh, he was, amen, he is the king of the Jews. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanging railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. There he was nailed. In patience, suffering. As the blood ran down his body, he suffered paying our sin debt. But may I say this, even there in the pain, even there pleading for God's forgiveness, even there suffering in patience, may I see, we see a blessing. We see the pardon of a sinner from the cross. Verse number 41 of Luke 23. Or verse number 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He knew Jesus was innocent. He knew Jesus was holy. He knew Jesus was God. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The guilty man admitted on the cross he's dying worthily for his crimes. And he's watching the Son of God be crucified. He's watching him suffer. He's watching him pray for others. He's watching him in patience, pleading to God to forgive others. And this criminal cried out to God, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. I recall a verse, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. May I say, I see the power of the cross. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18 and 19. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish. And if some people think that this message is foolish, but it's not. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. In Romans 1, the Apostle Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. May I say, my friends, I also see here the peace of the cross. If you'll look with me in Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 19 and 20. The Bible said, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. How did he make peace? Oh, he made peace two ways. First of all, we have to remember that we're sinners and God is holy. The book of Hebrews said he's separate from sinners. There has to be some type of reconciliation to be made. God is angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says in the book of Psalms. The judgment of God hangs over the head of sinful man. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, there is access to God where peace can be made and judgment can be escaped. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. Though there's preachers who say the blood's not important, they don't know what they're talking about. The Bible said, if there was no blood, there would be no remission. It took the blood of the innocent, the blood of the Lamb. The blood had to be shed. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then may I say, there was a promise fulfilled. If you'll look with me in John chapter number 2. In verse 19 and 20. Well, I'll read verse 18 as well. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Look with me, please, in the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke 24:1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's alive, amen. Amen. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. So today we celebrate his resurrection. He lives. He lives. As we close today, I'd like to look at the book of Romans, chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. The Bible said in verse number 23 through verse number 25. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, that he was crucified for our offenses, for our sins, and was raised again for our justification. That word justification means to legally be declared righteous before God. My friend, the proof of the cross, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The late Stinnett Ballew, he would say, my friend, what's new about you? Has the cross touched your life? Has the cross changed your life? How so? Psalm 107, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Do you have that personal experience in your life? Have you seen yourself a sinner? Have you realized that only Jesus Christ could save? Have you repented and come to Jesus Christ? Oh, many know that feeling as they sit on the pew and the Holy Spirit knocks on the heart. Have you obeyed? The Bible says today, while you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let's stand together. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. If there's somebody here and you say, preacher, I'm not saved, I need to get saved, would you raise your hand? I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone? You say, preacher, oh, he's done so much for me, but I sure haven't been faithful to him. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. The altar's open this morning. Please don't delay. Come to the Lord. He can help you. There's great mercy with him. Let's pray. Lord, bring conviction. Work in hearts. Save the lost. Reclaim the backslid. Work in every life. May the will of the Lord be done. And may you receive the reward of your great sufferings. In the holy name of the Son of God, I pray. Amen. The altar's open.
Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow.
Amen, amen, amen.
Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
My brothers in the Lord, I've asked Brother Pope this morning to meet us at the altar. Brother Pope has thyroid cancer, and it's somewhat serious. And I've asked him if we could pray over him this morning. So my brothers who would you meet us at the altar? Ask for the healing hand of God to touch Brother Pope.
Amen. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Lord Jesus, we give you the glory. Bless your holy name. And Lord, I pray you'd work in hearts and may you receive the reward of your suffering. God, I ask you to receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. May your name be made just magnificently known. Work in every life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. See y'all tonight.